Turning again to Deuteronomy in chapter 15. And as I mentioned earlier, this may seem a very strange chapter for us to consider here this evening in our gospel service. But, you know, this is a chapter, or part of this chapter. We look at the first 18 verses, and you'll find it very helpful to have your Bible open in front of you. This really is, you know, a reflection on the Lord's character. A reflection on the Lord's character, especially his wonderful mercy. I don't think many people understand what God's law is about in the scripture. Not only is it a guide to us, not only does the scriptural commandments show us how we should live and what God expects of us, one of the wonderful things about the law of God that we see in the Bible is that it reflects on the Lord's character. Well, we think often of the Ten Commandments, and you think of a commandment, very simply put, thou shalt not kill. And of course, we think, why should God give such a command? Well, because God loves life, and he has given life. And of course, he is so sad and feels it when life is taken away in an evil way. And of course, when he has got in his law that we should not steal, well, this is a reflection on God's character, because you see, the Lord is the opposite of someone who would steal. He was so generous. He gives life and being and all things. And of course, he is so generous and bountiful. And so you see, the law of God is a reflection on the Lord's character. And we have, of course, the fact that we should not tell lies. We should not bear false witness. Well, why does God give such a lie? Well, because that part and parcel of his character, of his being. He is the God that cannot lie, and he is the God that is so honest and so open and so truthful, and oh, he is a God of revelation. So you see, even in the Ten Commandments, each one of them, I won't go through them all because that's not my purpose tonight, but they reflect the very character of God and show us his love and his mercy especially. And as we look here tonight at this, what we might think rather strange law that is given to the people of Israel just before they enter into the promised land after the 40 years that they've spent in the wilderness, and they're given their moral law, the Ten Commandments, but they're also given many civil laws. And these laws are all to do with the poor. These laws that we've read here in chapter 15, verses 1 to 18, are all to do with those that have fallen on hard times and how the rest of the people in the community are to watch over them. You don't get anything like this in society today. We expect to pay our taxes and then the government can dish out what they think is needful for different people. But here is a wonderful civil law, how that the people themselves were to help those that were down on their hills and those that were going through bad times. But of course, it's not just that. We'll see that as we look at these verses here in a little detail here tonight. But the great thing I want you to notice is that these verses reflect the very character of God, and we'll see that very, very clearly. Let's look at these verses. Verse 1. At the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. A release. The Lord is concerned with us as if we were slaves. You see, the people in those days, if they got into trouble, they might even have to sell themselves as sort of bond slaves. Not the slaves that they were in Egypt, but they were like servants, and they were kept for 6 years, and they would work for the person that had helped them, and it was a great benefit to society. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any social services to look after them. But this would be a way in which a man and even his family could be taken care of. They would sell themselves, as it were, to apprentice themselves for 6 or 7 years into a more wealthy family. And they would be cared for, and they would be homed, and they would be fed. And of course, quite rightly, they would work in the fields and look after the sheep and do the repairs. And of course, that would be all right and just. And it was a grand way of doing things. But you see, here is the very character of God. Why did God give such a law? Why did God arrange things like that for Israel, his ancient people? Well, it shows us that the Lord is concerned with us as slaves. He is concerned with us as slaves to our sin and sinful habit and its end, what it will turn to in the end. He desires release for us from our sinful habit. He desires that we might have salvation and freedom and happiness. Release also from debt and from guilt and from broken law and its righteous punishment. You see, God is holy, but God is also merciful. And when you begin to look at these verses here concerning their civil law, that at the end of every 7 years, the people were to make a release from any debt that was owed to them. They were to make a release from anyone who had become their bond slave because such a person had got into such a state. Why does God give such a law as that? Well, because our God is such a God of love and such a God of mercy. He would seek our release, the release of all the debt of sin that we've accumulated over the years, not for 7 years, not for 6 years, but for all our lifetime. And he would have us to be free. But some people think the Bible is obscure. We read a chapter like this and you think, well, what's that all about? What's that got to do with me? Well, this reflects on our God, the sort of God that looks down upon us in love and wonderful mercy. He would have us released. Well, we move quickly on. Look here at verse 2. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbour shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbour or of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. This is a law for Israel in ancient time, but it pictures to us the Lord's way of love and mercy towards us. We owe God. There's no doubt about that. We owe God our lives. We owe God for all that broken law and offence that we have caused him by the way we have lived our lives. But he so wants to release us. He so wants to pardon us of all our debt. Oh, that wouldn't be deserved, but it would be his mercy and his grace. And it's called the Lord's release. Why is that? Because only the Lord could do it. Only the Lord can release us from our debt. No one else can forgive us in this way. Well, we forgive each other for our wretchedness to each other from time to time. But friends, this is the Lord's release. It's something wonderful, and it's something that he so wants to do. Oh, what a relief. What a relief to read in the Bible that we have a God that would forgive us and release us from our debt and forgive us and pardon us and send us away free. Wow, this is a wonderful thing. Look here in verse 3. We won't spend much time in each verse, but I want to look at all of them. Verse 3. Of a foreigner, one of the Canaanites, the Moabites, those countries round about, of a foreigner, thou mayest exact it again, that debt. It will remain a debt until it's paid. But that which is thine with thy brother, fellow Israelites, thine hand shall release in the seventh year. Well, that was in Israel. That was the rule. That was the law. You could lend money to someone outside of your nation and you would expect them to pay it and there wouldn't be any release, unless you were very generous. But for your own kind, for your own people, you had to release it after the 6 years. Oh, friend, this is a marvellous thing. Here the Lord shows us where he makes a release. It's permanent. It's permanent. But if someone is not saved, it will still be expected. Friends, that's eternal hell. That's what the Bible speaks of. Where there is no release. Where we do not come and trust in the Saviour. Where we do not seek his forgiveness. Then all that debt that we have accrued by that broken law, it will be expected to be paid in full in that eternal punishment that he awaits for those that are not his. But what a mercy it is that God should release us because his son has paid to the last penny the debt that we owe to him. But let's hurry on here in verse 4. Save when there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. And that's heaven. That's heaven. That's what he wants us to know. And to experience a time when all in heaven will praise God for everyone in his glorious heaven. There will be no poor there. There will be no one in debt. There will be no one that owes anything because the Lord Jesus Christ has paid it all wonderfully, gloriously. This is the heart of our God. He so wants to bless us and release us and save us and bring us to his heaven. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, is where all these things have been paid for. Paid for that broken law, our offence to God, our coldness towards him, our not loving him with all of our being, our ignoring him and turning on him so often. Oh, friends, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ has paid for all the sins of his people that come and seek such a release. Oh, this is a wonderful blessing. Did you think that this was a strange chapter for us to look at here tonight and that there was nothing here for us? Oh, friends, this is all to do with us. This is all to do with us as we reflect, see the reflection of the Lord's character in this chapter, and we can trust him to come and forgive us all our sin. Look here in verse 5. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day. Well, of course, as Moses impresses upon the people of Israel that they're just about to cross the river Jordan and go into their new land, and all these laws should be kept if the Lord were to bless them. Well, he says to them, hearken, we must listen. Well, of course, we know from the history of Israel that they failed miserably. They failed miserably. But if we do, we should be lost. Oh, obedience to God is vital. And one great matter of obedience is that we should come according to his command to repent of our sin and trust in the Saviour and yield our lives completely to him. And then he will release us from all our debt. You see, this is what the Lord teaches us. Even from such ancient laws as this, from an ancient people that may seem so obscure to us, and that this sort of life disappeared many centuries ago. But it was all written down for us to understand the very character of our God, that he, in mercy, if we come believing his word, trusting him, keeping his commandment to repent of our sin and trust him, he will save us. Look here in verse 6. For the Lord thy God blesseth thee, as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, not need to borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over thee. Well, what do we see of the Lord here? Well, the Lord wants to bless us. This was Israel of old, but for us, spiritually, in fact, the believer has something tremendous to lend to all. The believer has something wonderful to give to all. And of course, that's that blessing of the message of salvation. That's what this gospel service is all about. That's what we lend you tonight. That's what we want to impress upon you. That's what we want to show you. It's so wonderful that our God will save you and bless you and bring you to his glorious heaven. The real Christian needs nothing really else. Spiritually speaking, he has all that he needs to arrive in heaven safely. He has righteousness that Christ gives him. He has forgiveness which God has granted to him. These are the blessings that the Christian has, and with these things we may enter his glorious heaven safely, not needing to borrow anything else at all. Look here, verse 7. If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates, in which thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brothers. Do you see the heart of the Lord here in giving such a law? The Lord is not hard towards us. The Lord is not hard towards us. We're so poor, we cannot pay. But he wants to release us. He wants to release us. The Lord opens his arms wide to us. His son has suffered upon the cross to make it all possible so that he might release us from all our sin. He's not hard towards us. He is not a demanding God. He is a gracious God. And he says, come to me and I will not cast you out. Come to me and I'll forgive you. And I'll grant you my son's righteousness. And I'll grant you a place in glorious heaven for all eternity. Do you see? This is the heart of God shown in the laws that he gave to ancient Israel. Verse 8. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth, needeth. Come to me, says the Saviour. I will forgive you. I will save you and give you heaven. This is all reflected in this ancient law. The Lord Jesus Christ has suffered for all the necessities of our souls on the cross. Christ's payment He paid all that was needed, all that was necessary to bring us to glory, all that is wanted, all that is required. His very life's blood was that payment for such things, and that atonement was made. Oh, glorious, wonderful. In these simple laws, we see the very heart of our God. And now, verse 9, beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Well, because of this seven-year rule, some would get perhaps to the fifth year and think, well, I'm not going to lend him anything because I'll have to release it in a couple of years and I probably won't get a chance to recover it. Evil in their heart. But of course, the Lord is nothing like that. He's nothing like that, as he intimates here. He so wants to release us, even after a lifetime of sin, when the time's drawn near for us to face him, he still would have us come and be released of our sin through Christian conversion. We might be evil, but the Lord is kind. The Lord is full of love. The Lord is a merciful God. Verse 10, thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him. Well, you begrudge giving him something to help your poor brother, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. You see that? If the Lord is delighted when men are kind, how much more so him? He surely wants to save us, to release us from all our debts and guilt. It will be no grief to him, of course not. The very heart of God delights to forgive and to save. Can we not see this is all here? The very heart of God revealed to us. Wonderful. Can't we trust such a God? Can't we come to him knowing he will only do us good? Oh, friends, surely that is the case. Verse 11, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, you Israelites, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. There will always be the unsaved. But the Lord constantly holds out to us salvation, to all those that will come. Whoever will come and drink of the fountain of life freely, he will save them and bless them and grant them forgiveness for all their sins. The Lord's heart is so inclined to this. Look there in verse 12. And if thy brother, an Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years as this sort of apprentice type of slave, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. There's a lot of criticism of what the Bible says about slavery. Friends, you couldn't have a more gentle slavery than this, and it can't last even any more than 6 years. But the Lord is so inclined to this, to let them go. Let them go. He wants to let us go from all our guilt and sin that we have accumulated. Let us go freely, that we might be his and saved forever. And verse 13, and when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Oh, this was very important. Very important. You see, this slave, this bond slave, had worked for you for 6 years. Perhaps he'd worked hard. And at the end of the 6 years, you were to let him go. But you were not to let him go away empty. Empty at all. Well, this is not just a release. Not just a release for us, as we come to the Lord and he releases us of the guilt of our sin, but he gives us so much as well. He doesn't send us away empty when he saves. He gives blessing and forgiveness and pardon and heaven and the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ and prayer answers and, oh, a wonderful Bible and his keeping power. He gives so much. He doesn't send us away empty and say, there, I'll forgive you your sin, now you get on with it. Of course not. The heart of God is so towards us, so wanting to bless us in so many ways. This is carried on in verse 14. But thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock and out of thy floor, that's the grain, and out of thy winepress, of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. Well, this is what would happen. You see, you don't quite see it in those words, but what's really happening in that society of Israel of old was that if someone had been your slave for 6 years and you weren't to send him away empty, but you were to liberally give him what he needs, really, this was setting him up. Well, setting him up in business, you might say, except they didn't have business, but setting him up on his own little homestead. Setting him up with a cow or two, and with some sheep and goats, and also with seed that he can sow, so that in the next spring he could feed his family, so he could get going again, so life is completely turned around. This is what this is all about in Israel of old. Shame we don't read of it very often happening then. They failed miserably in all these wonderful laws that God had given to them. But this is what the Lord would do for us. He would set us up with strength and power of his Holy Spirit to live a life that would truly please him, and usefulness and purposefulness and all so much that would intellectually satisfy us as we see what this world is all about and what God's purposes are in this world. Wonderful, marvellous. He would set us up in a spiritual journey that will lead to his heaven and his glory. Wonderful. Verse 15. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, where there was cruel slavery, and the people had to serve with rigour, and there were no blessings at all for the slave there, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. The Lord would want us to remember his kindness, and we would have lives filled with gratitude and worship and service and obedience. We will remember what we were before he released us, before he forgave us all our debt. Verse 16, and it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee and thine house, because it is well with thee. Well, here was a situation where that slave had spent his 6 years in that house. Well, it was the best 6 years of his life, before it was all struggle, before it was all starvation, before it was all a struggle to feed his children and his wife and clothe them. But all in those 6 years, his master had so dealt so kindly to him, given him all that he needed, perhaps even a little separate part of the house in which he could dwell with his children. And he always had a full plate at his table and clothes when he needed to them, and warmth in winter. And so at the end of the 6 years, when the year of release came and the master said, you can go now, and here, look, I'll supply you with all these things so you can get going yourself. And they turn around and say, no, let's carry on. Let's still be in your house. We'll serve you forever. This has been the happiest place that for me and my wife and my family could ever have. That was the situation that was envisaged in Israel by these wonderful laws, because this was the heart of God, that he would indeed come to us and we won't leave him ever as he releases us from our sin. Oh, we want to be his. We want to be his servants. We want to live for his glory. We want to make him known amongst those that haven't yet come to him. And in full and glad surrender, we give ourselves to our God who has released us from all the debt of our sin. Well, we're nearly there, friends. 17 and 18. Then shalt thou take an oar, seems to be some pointed implement, and thrust it through his ear, pierce his ear, unto the door, and he shall be thy servant for ever, and also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise. Seems rather hard to us, doesn't it? But what is this? The Lord says, can you bear a little pain? Can you bear a little pain for me to express your love and devotion and loyalty to prove that you'll be mine forever? You know, life for the real Christian would have many experiences of hardship borne gladly for the one that saved us. Well, release in one sense, bound to him in another. But he so wants us. He so wants us to prove our love to him, to prove that we truly have been saved and know what gratitude we have for his forgiveness and release of all our debt. Wonderful. Verse 18. It shall not seem hard unto thee when thou sendest him away free from thee, for he hath been worth a double hired servant to thee in serving thee 6 years, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that thou doest. Our friends, Do you see the heart of God here? And the Lord delights in us, his servants. The release is real and the release is eternal. That's what all of this shows. What a chapter! What a chapter! Here is the heart of God revealed towards us. He so wants to release us. He so wants to pardon us all our sin. He so wants to release us from the habit of sin. He has paid the debt by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon the cross, Calvary's cross. Oh, friends, do you see something here? At the very heart of God, how can you move away from him to this one? Oh, friends, he will do your soul good if you come to him. Seek this release. Seek this pardon. Seek this converted life. Oh, friends, the Lord God is such a God of love. He sent his Son to die on Calvary's cross, that we might be forgiven and set free from our sin. This is what this ancient law is all about. You might wonder how this obscure law was kept down the centuries. Why? This is 4,000 years old, nearly. And we think to ourselves, why is it kept? Why is it still in my Bible? What's it there for? Oh, to show us the very heart of our loving and merciful God. Oh, come to him and know his blessing in your own heart. Know his release. Know his graciousness to you in these days. Let's pray together.